What's up? It's Kelly with the Antler Queens, and I am here today with my beautiful, lovely, wonderful, well-prepared guest.
Oh, thank you so much.
Why don't you tell everybody who you are and why you decided to join me today?
All right. Hello, everyone. I'm Lexi. I'm in Denver, Colorado, and I'm joining the amazing, lovely Kelly today because we bonded. Of course, this is the best show. There's never been a show that has only had, like, I'm into the second episode and I'm like, this is my favorite show. This is the best show I've ever seen. But it really is. So thank you. Thank you, writers, and especially music supervisors. For giving it that extra kick. I think my neighbors heard me when they did the Tracy Bonham clip of the lost it. So we are here discussing Yellow Jackets, and we're gonna do supernatural versus logical today.
Yeah, we are. I'm excited about this one because it's
same.
You know, the showrunners kind of said they're leaving it up in the air. They're not really planning on explaining a whole lot.
Okay. Well, that's another thing I really have to give mad credit to the writers about, especially when they introduce, you know, Misty and the citizen detectives and all that. The show is challenging every single one of us to be a citizen detective. And I think that they probably have so much fun. If I was one of the writers, I would read all the blogs. I would watch these shows. I would want to know all the fanfare and what everyone thinks, especially if I hadn't made a decision on what I wanted something to happen. I even, episode number 3, I went on to Etsy.
Oh, that's so great. I love it. for those of you just listening to this, she's holding up a citizen detective sweatshirt with a image of the symbol on it. So that's super cool.
Yes, I had to. And I never do that. I never buy merch for, you know, TV shows and stuff. But it's one of those things that from the get-go, you feel like a part of, especially, I think, for women our age group, because, you know, we could have been on the plane, like Allie, where it's our trauma bond together. Yes. And I love how she says it. And so we're both, you know, dabble in our past in the music industry. If on some alternate plane, if we were ever to be in a band together, Kel, we have to name it Trauma Bond.
Oh my God. Yes.
That's it. We just need some bass and drums. And
I agree.
Is that great? But, I loved it from the get-go, and I ended up finding out about the show. There's a news feed, magazine feed on my Facebook, believe it or not, that's Consequence. And you know how you skim through stuff in your feed, and honest to God, all I saw was Juliette Lewis, Christina Ricci, plane crash, 1996. I didn't even care about anything else. I was, those are two of my top 3 Gen X queens. So third being Winona. So they're just like in everything 90s. If, you know, you were going to have a 90s contest, then they would, of course, be in it. And I love seeing them together. I don't think they've ever worked together before. Juliette and Christina. I absolutely love it. And the way they play off of each other, it's I love when the characters are so good. You never once think, oh, they're acting.
Right.
You're just in it. You're just in it from the beginning.
Yeah, for sure. I've definitely never been so excited about a show before. And I didn't think, I mean, The Walking Dead used to be my favorite show, and I thought nothing will ever top that. And then, Yellow Jackets, Walking Dead. Walking Dead. What? What's that show about?
No, I've seen it. I'm one of those that, like, I liked it, But then I got to a point where they kept repeating the same plot, yeah, and I would get upset when characters that I liked were just killed off. Like, they do that with Game of Thrones. You yeah. never, you're never like, oh, this character is safe. You're just, gone. Yeah.
Well, I before we start getting into the supernatural versus logical discussion, which is what we're talking about today, I wanted to do one of my traditional icebreaker questions.
Okay.
So the question that I came up with was, we're in the universe of the Yellow Jackets. We're in the Yellow Jackets universe, modern day. Everybody knows about the cabin where the girls were staying when they were stranded. And there are all kinds of urban legends about it. Everyone's scared of it. Kids sit around at Halloween and tell ghost stories about it.
And of course,
you are challenged to spend a weekend at that cabin with one of the Yellow Jackets characters. Who are you staying with and why?
Okay, that's easy for me, hands down. It would be Natalie, because you've seen her with the gun, and we know she's got contraband. And my Instagram, if you can't see it or you don't know already, my Instagram handle is OGStonerTick72. So definitely Natalie, because I don't care how far the luggage went. What else do you have to do? I'm going to find it.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. And then, oh, I even have to fangirl out for a second. Sorry, Kel. Oh, and no, show no. you guys episode number 2. Oh.
Death to the Pixies. Lexi showing up her Death to the Pixie shirt.
Yes, I freaked out. I've had this in my closet for 100 years, and Miss Juliet comes waltzing on scene wearing the shirt. Hers awesome. Is a lot nicer and brand new. And I was like, ah, and I made everyone in the house pause the show so I could go fangirl out and put my shirt on.
I absolutely love it. I love it. I do not have as big of a Pixies fan as I am. I do not have a Death to the Pixies shirt, but I did own a pair of pants that looked exactly like the Leopard Prince pants she was wearing when she was at Bricks and Mortar with Kevin.
Yes.
Although she has those in, you know, 2021, and I had those like years ago, but hey, whatever.
They're still awesome. Cool. Yeah. I think my favorite outfit is where she's got the fishnets and the shorts.
Yeah.
When they go to the soccer game and the heels. Yeah, that's. I can just see her saying, no, I'm going to wear shorts. This is perfect. Yeah.
Now, I think so. I actually have the same answer to that icebreaker question.
Awesome.
For me, it's Natalie. And, but for slightly different reasons, I'm picking Natalie because I think the two people I'd get along with the most would be Natalie and Thaisa. But I'm a skeptic, but there's still a part of me that gets scared easily and, you know, loves ghost stories and can get easily spooked. And I feel like if I was there with Thaisa, we would get along until I started getting spooked by something. And then I don't think her skepticism would calm me down. I think it would annoy me because I would be annoyed that I'm not the same way.
right. You'd be like, no, but listen, like, that's one of the things, maybe that's what breaks her and Van up.
I think so.
Because
see, Natalie, on the other hand, doesn't, you know, I think she also is a kind of goes quiet, skeptical. My, oh, no, that's okay.
My dog knocked the cord.
Yeah, I think Natalie also kind of, errs toward the skeptical side a little bit, but I don't think she's as hardcore about it as Thais is. So I think I think Natalie wouldn't be like beating myself up and feeling like an idiot around Natalie, whereas like Thais would just I don't think she would feel dumb, but I think I would feel dumb around her.
Well, yeah. And she's, you know, she's kind of making fun of Vanessa almost when she says it. And I feel like Natalie's just her character is very open-minded. Like, yeah. She wants to be logical, but then again, she just had a vision of her dad.
Yeah.
As the plane came crashing. And again, I have so many theories about it. That's actually, to me, that's the first hint of supernatural that we get. Cause I've probably ran through the first season, I don't know, six or seven times. And I'm really looking for it. And you see the symbol, but you know, when they're going to the lake, but I feel like it's before that. I feel like you get a hint of supernatural when Lottie's a child and she quite literally stops the accident or stops her parents from getting in the accident. And it just unfortunately goes to someone else, but they would have all been killed. And so they, you know, take her to a dive. They just think it's hysteria. And I'm very surprised that the parents aren't like, wow, the kid just saved our life. They're not. They're like, oh, let's put her on medication.
Well, the mom thought that it could be that she could be having.
The mom. Yeah, I stand corrected. It's also because women are a little more sensitive to things like that. And whether if there's a woman freaking out, then all the men are just going to go, oh my God, she's hysterical. But all the women are probably, oh, what's wrong?
Yeah.
And so that does make sense to me. It makes me wonder if Lottie's mom knows anything else later in life or is involved in anything else. Was that quite obviously wasn't the first time that's happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It happened before for them. You know, you don't just scream, have one fit, and the parents put you on medication. They're also loaded.
Yeah.
And rich people tend to think that just like throwing money at problems makes them go away. So that also makes me think, right? So is it that the dad doesn't want to deal with it? Or does he really think she's sick? There's a whole different mess of questions that I have for the writers about that. We need more.
Yeah,
definitely
for sure.
Need more.
Now, I think the dollhouse was the first time we saw anything kind of like possibly supernatural going on, right?
The dollhouse.
That was episode 3.
Okay.
I think that was the first time that we actually saw anything like, because we talked about this a little bit ago. You know, Thaisa, I think it was episode 2 where Thaisa went for a walk, right? And
yeah.
We didn't see anything that she saw on that walk, right?
No.
But there were some weird things going on in that episode. There were some weird camera angles that made it look like, you know, they might be like there was possibly somebody watching them.
Well, that's what brings me back. Do you remember we only see about it for a second when and this is in Thaisa's childhood, when something about the grandmother and she's dying and there's a man with no eyes, and then bam, we never hear about that again. So is that supernatural? Is that, you know, kind of, that reminded me of True Blood a little bit. It was, when is it, you know, supernatural? Was it like voodoo-y? Is it passed down from generations? They never say if Sammy is one of their natural birth child or not.
Right.
They never say that. So now my conspiracy theory brain is like, oh, I'll bet you Sammy is Thaisa's natural child. Mm-hmm. And she's the one that went through the pregnancy and the birth. And now he's got it.
Yeah.
Like the gift or whatever.
I would be really interested to know that if Sammy is actually biologically related to Thaisa. And I mean, even if Simone was the one who carried him, that even if Simone is the biological mother, maybe Thaisa has a brother that we don't know about, you know, that could have possibly been the sperm donor. So
yeah, there's so many characters that we don't even know about that they could be, you know, just popping up.
Yeah. So. Or you could be adopted and not biologically related to any of them. But it is it is kind of strange. It is a little strange that he, that there's all these kind of weird things going on with him.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not that weird because most of it can be attributed to Thaisa, but I mean, there's like the weird drawings and everything, you know? I mean,
oh, that kid's weird. Come on. That little that little actor, I hope he's got work for life now. He is so freaky. His eyes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And when he's telling her to give the dog or the doll back and stuff, I was like, oh my God, just give it. I'm scared of this kid.
Yes. No, I love that kid. He's so good.
He's really good.
And like, you just feel so bad for him, but at the like, cause he's just going through so much. But it's like, man, it's every time he comes on screen, it's like, oh God, something creepy is going to happen now.
Yeah. And he knows because, and I'm not sure how old he's supposed to be, but if you are drawn to believe in supernatural and otherworldly things, then you never disbelieve a kid that's like 4 and under because they can supposedly see things that we can't, like cats. And yeah, if I had a 3 or 4 year old that was like talking to someone in the corner, I would want to move. Because yeah. You're like, oh, that's probably real. I'm one of those. I'm a lot like Natalie where I'm open to both ways. I'm not a huge astrology person, but it does work sometimes. Like I'm a Libra, so it was really fun for me to, you know, do the scales of the supernatural and the logical and kind of weigh everything out and argue with myself and kind of see who won, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like, I don't know, so far I feel like supernatural is winning.
Yeah.
Or maybe I just want it to. I'm a big fan of things, you know, unexplained, and you know, we only use 11% of our brains and what's really there and what can't we see and stuff. And I think we're gonna see a lot of this argument with everyone that's stranded.
Yeah. You know, I like that the writers have said that the showrunners have said that they're kind of going to continue to straddle those two worlds and make us think about it, which makes it far more interesting to me. I hear a lot of people say if they go the supernatural route, I'm going to be so disappointed. But I don't think they're ever going to just come right out and explain it all.
I think it's more fun if you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Absolutely. And
people will still watch.
Yeah. And the thing is, even if there is a logical explanation for every single weird thing that happens, there is still the issue of, well, that's a lot of coincidences piling up.
Yes.
So there's
the symbol, and there's still a dead guy, and aren't his hands cut off, and he's got enough ammo in this random, you know, place in the middle of nowhere. And who was that guy? And again, this is my super conspiracy brain. I should have fashioned a tinfoil hat and worn it whenever I have a crazy idea. I want to get into if there's one character that I need to see in season 2, it's Mr. Matthews. I need more. I need to know about Lottie's father. He's rich. It's his private plane.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about occultism, and is it supernatural? Is it logical? And he'd be about the same age as Javi and Travis's dad that we know nothing about because dude dies in the first episode. Now, what if there's something cultish that's going on for generations? And this doesn't even have to do with the kids yet. And that is the part, that's the, like, air quotes, logical part that would explain the symbol to me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the dad has ties to the dude in the cabin who looks like he lost a bet or something, and you know what I mean, and is like hauled up back there. So if we get some more background on the adults, then that's either going to be more, tons more logical for me, or if we do find out that there is a cult, because, oh, that symbol, oh my God.
I know.
And it's just, it's so cool, and it does look like a witch, and then, right, and you turn it upside down, and it looks like you're draining the blood, and yeah, and the whole conspiracy, I could argue logical and supernatural about probably anything in the show, but that's, yeah. I think that's my biggest one right now, since I've been, you know, diving into the research and stuff. And, cause other than that, it could be anything. It's mm-hmm. the universe versus, you know, just spirit realm versus God or the devil, whatever, you know, whatever people believe, or I sound like Always Sunny in Philly, or whatever people say, you know what I mean? Everything's like PC now. And, so I would say that, and what else? Witches. Did I say witches? There was like one other thing. And it all boils down to that symbol. The symbol it's too precise for anyone not to have drawn it. And the fact that the circles are there, and then Jackie's dumbass, oh, this looks very seance-y. So no. On what planet do you see some stuff like that and think that's a good idea? Like, I knew kids that played with Ouija boards, you know, in school, and tarot cards and stuff, and I've never heard a good story. I never have. And then you're with all, it's just like the world's worst never-ending slumber party. That was one of my greatest fears, and probably a reason why I love this show so much, because I didn't like teenage girls when I was one. So being stranded with, oh my God, that would have, yeah. that's just a big bad no. So that's scarier than any like Catholicism based horror movie plot, you know, that you could ever come up with to me. So mad props. Because they probably talked to someone like me and was like, what would be the most traumatic thing that you could ever survive?
Being stranded with a bunch of teenage girls.
Yeah. Yeah, and worse than the girls' soccer team, I was a friggin' cheerleader. So I can't. So there would have just been like mass murder, you know, all across the board.
Oh, that would have been,
yeah, that would have been bad. So, you know, I can understand why Travis is, you know, he's less than thrilled about all that. But I'm getting off topic. Let's dive into one of the other conspiracies, other than we've got Lottie's dad. Mm-hmm. We've got, what did you call him? Cabin Daddy.
Cabin Daddy. Yeah.
We've got Cabin Daddy. Okay. And then possible Sky Daddy, right? We've got like under realm daddy and cult daddy, all kinds of daddies happening over daddies. Here.
Yeah. They should just rename the show Daddy Issues.
Right. And then you'd have to have a soundtrack from Everclear in there.
Yeah.
That is like Daddy Issue band of the decade, I think, for the 90s. And he's a dude. But so let's see. The other thing, conspiracy argument, what have you, is the forest itself.
Yes.
Now, logical, planes crash. Mm-hmm. Stuff happens. Logistics, schematics, what do you call flight plans and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes stuff just happens.
Yeah.
That's boring, right? That's boring. But it's very logical. And normally there's nothing normal about this show, but normally you would have the black box to answer all those questions. Now, Misty. Another perfect example of the music scoring and supervision is, oh my God, it's saying hold on to one yes. more day. And she's smashing it. And everyone so in my house, right? And everyone in my house is like laughing and screaming and like, what the, you know? And logical. She wanted to hold on. She's feeling appreciated for the first time ever. Not so logical. Maybe whatever has a hold of the forest took a hold of Misty and made her even crazier. Mm-hmm. And it didn't, what did they say? The forest didn't want them to leave.
Yes. Lottie said that when they found the plane, Lottie said it didn't want him to leave.
Yes. And I got a real Bermuda Triangle kind of feel after that. Yeah. And so that is an argument for logical and supernatural at the same time, because yeah. no one really knows what's going on with the Bermuda Triangle, but it does explain the compass. Mm-hmm. As the compass, you know, kind of gets messed up when they're trying to find the cabin.
Yeah.
Now, why is that river red or infested, like Lottie sees in her dream, but not the actual lake itself or the ocean?
Yeah, that's interesting.
When they get there.
That's interesting for sure. I don't understand why that is, maybe because it's, you know, the water's concentrated a little bit differently.
Right.
But it's
the iron oxidation, or I don't even know if I'm saying that right. But Thais is the one that's always like, there's logical explanation for everything.
Yeah.
So if you kind of get in Thais's brain for a minute, then yeah, it's absolutely something that's scientific. That's mm-hmm. causing this not to work, this to turn red. There's no water, there's no fresh water in the stream. So that's why they're not seeing any more animals. Yeah. But didn't look like those animals got attacked by wolves, really, with all the maggots and stuff.
Yeah, that was very strange.
And gross.
Yeah.
That was so gross. Every time I rewatch it, I'm like, yeah. Okay, it's over.
That was so bizarre. There's a lot that I don't know a whole lot about, but there's this animal that's alive and just, it's not like laying there looking sick on the ground or anything when they find it. I mean, it just looks like a normal deer and they shoot it and kill it. And you know, why the hell would it be full of maggots?
I don't know. And the first deer was okay. It's just like thinking of, for lack of a better term, like witches or sorcery. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the Wizard of Oz? Of course mm-hmm. you do. We all remember the Wizard of Oz. So the Wizard of Oz, do you remember she's got the crystal ball and she's watching everything and Dorothy's going through the forest and all that, right? And she's like, oh, poppies. And she makes all that stuff happen. So the first time that I watched that episode, my mind immediately went to the Wicked Witch up there and like, ooh, maybe somebody, is turning the river this way. The somebody that sent the vision to Lottie to tell them that. And that, the proof of that and the necklace, I think, and what the hell is that a tooth from?
Some type of bone. It was a piece of bone that for some reason or another didn't burn. When they burned the deer, for some reason that piece of bone didn't burn. And so Lottie took it as a good luck charm.
Right. Now, does her wearing that, is Vanessa wearing that, send a signal? Does it attract the wolves? Or is that the thing that saves her life?
Well, what's weird is that Thaisa ends up in the tree with the necklace around her neck.
Oh, I missed the necklace part on her. Yes. I just thought she went up there to eat some dirt and chill.
No, she woke up with, I think she, did she have a, I think she had a flare gun in her hand. And she had, she woke up with the flare gun in her hand, which she probably, I mean, which she probably fell asleep with in her hand because she, you know, she was probably, she wanted to have that on her if she was keeping it.
Right.
And she had the bone necklace around her neck. So at some point she was walking around, you know, disassociating or whatever, and took the necklace off of Van. But I mean, did Van, what happened there? Like, I want to see that scene.
Maybe there will be an additional scene that's missing from that scene. And maybe she gives it to her because she's on first watch or something. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Or maybe her alter takes it off of her in the middle of the night, or she forgot to put it back on and she picks it up. I feel like there's so many missing pieces and they do that on purpose. Maybe they're not even sure yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really bummed that we didn't get to see that because it's, I mean, for all we know, the missing time that we saw could have been, you know, Thaisa walking around fully aware and Van is having trouble sleeping and Van is like, here, take this, you know, but I have a feeling that because they didn't show it. I think we're supposed to assume that Thaisa, that the bad Thaisa, Lady in the Tree Thaisa, you know, took it off of her at some point. And the
bad one.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the implication there is that Van got attacked because of it. Yeah.
Yes. And I also feel like in that vein, I feel like there's going to be more of a division between everyone on the, I keep wanting to say on the island. It really is like grunge Lord of the Flies with girls. It's, that's how I described it to people when I saw just the first couple episodes. I was like, you gotta watch this. So dun, 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 getting off track, what was the last thing we just said?
We were talking about the Van getting attacked by the wolves and the bone necklace.
Yeah, the division.
Yeah.
Because we see that already between Ty and Vanessa, and Ty doesn't believe anything and Van is already kneeling with Lottie and Misty. So we're already seeing strong alignments. And I feel like that's going to be what ends up splitting up Vanessa and Thaisa.
Yes.
Is that she just, and Vanessa's going to know that she's right because she's going to end up seeing Ty's altar and not know what to do with that. Or, you know, and Thaisa is going to say, you know, like, oh, I don't have time for crazy right now, Lottie. Right. And just write it off. And I think that's going to be a big division. We're going to see the supernatural believers on the show versus the non-believers.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of the believers are going to be the ones that, you know, were really into whatever they were going to do to poor Travis. When, you know, it's just, it's so, it's filmed so well. At first I was like, where did they even get an apple? Because the noise it makes, and it has that feel like they're putting an apple in the pig's mouth.
And yeah.
When they do that. And,
well, they used a pine cone, which
is that what it was?
It was a pine cone. And what's super interesting about that is, that is very similar to something that the Mayanads used to do.
Ooh, and the pine cone and the correlation with the pineal gland and all that.
Yeah, something about that. But
if you believe in that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep saying that after all my very hardcore opinions. but I think that's what's going to happen. And whether they're going to find Javi immediately, or I think they're going to let that ride. We know that he's in there, but I think they're going to tease us with a little bit, at least, for the first episode. That's what I would do. I'd be like, nah, you're waiting until episode two. Because Showtime tortures us and they make us go old school and wait every week for one episode when Netflix is like, we don't care.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Do it. It's your life, you know.
Yeah.
But I like it that way because it's more, you know, and then
it's more fun. It's more ritualistic. It's better for, like, you know, kind of generating excitement. And I don't know why Netflix does that. I just, it makes it so much less, it makes it kind of anticlimactic, you know?
It does, because then you can stop it whenever you want, finish it in the morning, and oh, God.
Oh, no. Now, I read a theory online, and I can't remember where I saw this theory, but somebody had the idea that, you know, Ty has had, in the present day timeline, Ty has had a couple of incidents where she sees a wolf.
Mm-hmm.
And someone had a theory that she thinks she's seeing a wolf, but she's actually seeing Van. So kind of, that's a pretty interesting theory, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
but Van's alive, so that's weird.
Yeah. Which would mean that if she is in fact seeing Van but doesn't know it, she thinks she's seeing wolves. And I mean, that kind of means that Van is stalking her. You know? That'd
be cool too.
Yeah.
She knows. I really feel like she's gonna see the altar. It's gonna have to come out because they're stuck there for almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like we were talking about Lottie saying the forest didn't want them to leave. Maybe it didn't even want them to fly over. And you know what I mean? And it just kind of was like, ooh, new victim, and sucked them onto the island. Or I keep saying that, and into the forest, where I read it's going to be, what is it, like somewhere northern Canada, maybe. But then we don't know, because, you know, the plane went all crazy, and then my theory about her dad having something to do with it, and the plane was never destined to get to Nationals. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of leaning heavy towards that. And then, so going with that, I was trying to think of times, if that's true, let's just pretend that the whole forest is haunted, or what have you. So then think of all the other times where, now that it's got them, how much before Lottie gives thanks to the dirt and all that, the very specific kind of really cool, you know, paganist kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I was kind of thinking they were making it angry. Like when Natalie and Travis disturbed the dad's grave to get the ring.
That's
kind of, right? That's kind of like not cool in the supernatural realm of, you know, of things. So they could have done that. And then if it wasn't angry enough, what about when Laura Lee, in all forms and glory of Jesus and saving everybody, now it knows that it's going to get a hold of Lottie, mm-hmm. if it already hasn't. So when she goes to Laura Lee to baptize her, I think that just, you know, whatever was mad already was like, no, we don't have none of that here. And then, you know, she dies, and she dies right over the body of water where she baptized Lottie.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that has anything, you know, anything correlative, but it did in my mind when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And how, if it's, you know, dark forces, then their main reason for existing is to shut out all the light. And so I think that might have had something to do with it, maybe.
Wow.
The thing that really got me with that was, because I started, you know, writing down arguments and doing research and stuff. And my man came home from work one night, and he sees me in the paper and the notebook everywhere, you know, and he just kind of smiles. And I looked at him and I said, spontaneous combustion? I got nothing.
Oh my gosh.
Goose egg. So I really had to start. There's a lot of information on Google about human spontaneous combustion.
Yeah.
But it wasn't her. it was her teddy bear, which was the very first thing that she looked for. And if she had not found the teddy bear, she would not have gotten dad's blood dripped on her head, wouldn't have seen Javi and Travis's dad in the tree. Yeah. All of that is kind of like a chain reaction. So when I was looking for things that would spontaneously combust for my logical arguments, I found a specific example of an oil-soaked rag that had been discarded and dried. And I thought, okay, because the plane crashed and the suitcases went everywhere, maybe there's a chance that the teddy bear got soaked in some of the plane gas or oil or some of that. And then when it gets to a certain point where there's no oxygen or too much oxygen, that will cause it to spontaneously combust, which could have absolutely happened.
Yeah.
To the teddy bear.
That's really smart. So, I hadn't thought about that. I knew that there were like a million reasons why the bear could have caught on fire, but I hadn't really thought it through like that. So that's really smart.
Oh, I had to know. I had to know. So the other thing is, if you go back to her really making the place angry and the forest is, you know, the dark forces and all that, then, you know, Wicked Witch of the West with the crystal ball, poof, teddy bear, boom. And then she goes down. Why her first thought isn't to try to at least put it out, I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, we'll chalk that up to Laura Lee, because she seems pretty smart and capable, you know, to even be brave, to be brave enough to do that. And if the plane did make it somewhere, they don't even know where they are, but somebody would have seen that plane.
Yeah.
I guess, right? Like on somebody's radar, it would have shown up and maybe they would have been able to find them. Now, wait till they realize there's no black box. I can't wait for that episode.
Oh, I know.
So that was the absolute best I could come up with for supernatural versus logical on the Laura Lee end of things.
Now, kind of going along with that, you know, I think there's a good, supernatural versus logical argument in regards to who died from the group, Laura Lee and Jackie. I think that they both were probably, I mean, other than maybe Javi because he was younger, or maybe Ben because he's, you know, dealing with a whole lot physically.
Yeah.
I think that Jackie and Laura Lee were really the most likely candidates to go, because Jackie was having the hardest time coping.
Yep.
With being in the wilderness. And so she wasn't necessarily being smart about everything. And Laura Lee probably taking that plane was really brave of her. And she was probably more likely to do kind of, you know, bold things like that because of her faith.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's interesting because, so that's a logical explanation for it, but it's also interesting because those were the two kind of ties to normalcy, to civilization.
Yeah. And it also goes along with another, you know, like 90s horror movie thing is Jackie was a virgin. Mm-hmm. And 20 seconds after she's not a virgin anymore, dead. Right?
Yes.
Horror movie. But they're both, the two of them, I think, are the only, you know, pure, like, I mean, Jackie's a, can we curse on this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go for it.
Jackie's an asshole. However, she does stand for, you know what I mean? Like, just like pure and good and, you know, high school boyfriend and all this. And it would make sense that her best friend, Miss Shauna, would be the one that's going to side with the dark and, you know, start making out with Travis after they had sex and doing all the trippy mushroomy things. And another serious divide. And then when she tells her to get out, she's the only good one left, like air quotes good. Cause yeah. Like I said, I don't, and I love an actor. Thank you, Ella Purnell. There is nothing more fun than a character that you love to hate.
Oh, see, and I don't hate Jackie. I think she had a lot of, a lot of issues. I don't like the way she treated Natalie. She was kind of like vindictive when it came to how she dealt with finding out that Shauna had slept with Jeff. I mean, that was all on Shauna, but you know, it kind of gave us some insight as to Jackie's character. She was not very like aware of other people.
No.
She was pretty self-involved, but I think she had potential to grow out of all of that.
Maybe not to, or she had potential to join a sorority and that was it. And Shauna was right about high school being like the highlight of her life. I went to school with a lot of girls like that. And I think that's why I automatically didn't like her. And yeah. It was just she's very off-putting, just like, and also because she doesn't know how to do anything. And that would drive me crazy. Now, if you go back to like 17-year-old me, I didn't either. I was a terrible spoiled brat. And, you know, and it was a very rude awakening for me to go into adulthood and, you know, learn how to do my own laundry and stuff like that. However, why does everyone else know how to do everything? Yeah. And you know what I mean? It's surprising the amount of things that they know how to do. But again, I knew mostly cheerleaders. They're soccer players. They're better. You know what I mean? They're more of like tomboys and they should be more well-rounded. And you learn a lot more stuff in the 90s than you do 80s. I think there's only a 6 or 7 year age difference with the characters and myself, but it's still a lot. Like I would have been in college in 96. So I did know how to do laundry by then, but it's very impressive to me to see that all their characters really know how to do that. And she's the only one that she doesn't even want to get out of bed. Like she just expects, you know, everything to still be done for her. And then Lottie kind of makes a very dramatic exit for Ella Purnell, Jackie, and says, "You don't matter anymore."
Yeah.
Like they're in a totally different plane of existence where she was the captain and she was, you know, homecoming queen and this and that. But if you can't get with all this newfound, you know, grooving paganism, later princess. And I think that's what they did. Now, how she dies like she did, and just falls asleep and in the cold and stuff. Did you want it to be a little more dramatic? Kind of, but I think it was a perfect exit for Jackie. I've seen arguments online in different fan forums where they're trying to make Pit Girl Ella Purnell. A, you can't do that because Jackie's already frozen. So you're not going to be able to turn her upside down and dry her blood. And B, when Lottie is in the water and she's being baptized and she has that dream, right? And she's in the white gown and barefoot and stuff. That is Pit Girl. They're messing with us like they did with the cannibalism. And then you find out that they're really eating the bear. They're messing with us. They're taking bits and pieces of things to get all of us speculating, and it is brilliant. But I don't see that being a victim or like a sacrifice, so to speak. Maybe that's where Lottie gets another idea for something later on down the line. But I really think that what everyone is trying to guesstimate who Pit Girl really is, I really think it's Lottie's dream.
That's what I was kind of speculating that too.
Yeah.
But yeah. And I who started, do you remember in Doom Coming when they were chasing after Travis? Do you remember who started making those animal calls?
Oh, I don't know her character's name. She looks kind of like Lottie with the dark hair.
Oh, Maria.
And she's like, what is it?
Mari.
She's not in it a lot.
Right.
But she's got like a few, like she tells Misty, get the fuck away, you know, from the food and this and that. And she's very brazen and outspoken.
Yeah.
And kind of a bully.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt like it was her, like a secondary character. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're going to see a little bit more of her. I got her confused with Lottie in the first couple episodes. Gotcha. Yeah. The first rewatch, I was like, oh, that's a totally different. Because I was like, Lottie's kind of mean and all these girls are going to follow her, you know, but it wasn't her.
So it was Mari that started the animal calls.
I think.
Yeah. So that's because I was wondering about that because Pit Girl is running, you hear all the animal calls being made and everything. And
yeah.
And which makes it seem kind of ritualistic, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But I'm just wondering, I mean, when they were chasing after Travis, they were seeing a deer.
Yes. Now.
And I don't know if that's the case with Pit Girl, you know, if Pit Girl did really happen and it's not just a vision of Lottie's, you know, do they think they're chasing an animal or do they think they're chasing a person? You know?
That's another thing that made me think of other shows where there's been like witchy supernatural stuff. And there was a term that kept running through my mind called glamoring. Right. Do they do glamour in True Blood? I can't. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, that was in True Blood, yeah.
Maybe something is intentionally or unintentionally making them see that. Add hallucinogenics. And we don't really know what happens with rotten berries. I've done mushrooms a couple times, but I have never drank rotten berries.
Well,
so,
what's that? I think that, okay, for those of you who have never seen True Blood, glamoring is basically something that the vampires do when they kind of wipe your brain, basically.
Star Wars.
So you don't remember anything.
It's Jedi mind control.
Yes.
But it makes you see something else. Like, yeah. I could glamour someone to see Marilyn Monroe right now behind the beautiful shades and everything, right? And then there's like a waterfall behind you, but that's not there at all. And
oh, right, yeah.
It's kind of like a power. So again, I don't know how much power, for lack of a better word, Lottie has that she's become aware of, mm-hmm. or if something speaking through her, is the forest glamoring Travis to get the girls to more easily follow him, because they were flat out going to kill him.
Yeah, absolutely.
They absolutely were.
Yeah.
And
sure.
I think that is why he tries so hard to push Natalie away towards the end, and he doesn't want her help because he's embarrassed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He just got gang raped or whatever, or, you know, near miss, and then almost murdered in some kind of weird blood ritual, which is ironically how he really dies. And that's, you know what I mean? And that's how, yeah, and she's just like, are you okay? Are you okay? And he's a dude. He probably feels, you know, weak and embarrassed and ashamed.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can tell you, I mean, I've never done shrooms. I tried to once and ended up throwing up and never tried it again. But so I just got sick from them. But yeah.
Happens.
And, I mean, I know when it comes to pharmaceuticals, I mean, I've had a million surgeries and I've been on some really hard drugs following a major trauma. And one of my, I have lots of stories about some of the crazy shit that I've done. One of my favorites that I always like to, I always say that if I ever opened up a dispensary, I would call it Pocket Donuts, because
I like it.
I have a whole story about Pocket Donuts, basically what Pocket Donuts are in my world. It was sometime shortly following a surgery, and I still was under the effects of anesthesia.
Okay.
And I was sitting there on the couch with my husband watching a movie or something, and he sees me go into, I'm going to describe this for those who are just listening and not watching. It looked like I was going through this weird motion where it looked like I was reaching into my pocket. I didn't have pockets. And I was putting something in my mouth. And I did it like a few times in a row. And he's like, "What are you doing?" And this is what he had to tell me all this. I'm like, "I'm eating my pocket donuts." And I thought that I had these big front pockets in whatever I was wearing, God. And I was pulling out little powdered donuts from out of my pockets and eating them.
That's hilarious. Oh my God.
You know, like, so at least I'm used to pharmaceuticals just like making me have a completely different warped sense of reality.
Yeah.
I've told nurses before that I wanted to, while I was on heavy drugs, that my feet were cold, and so I needed salmon fillets to put on them. I know mushrooms aren't pharmaceuticals, but they have psychoactive properties, and which can have very interesting effects when you're dealing with people who have been through a major trauma, are feeling mm-hmm. paranoid, are starving. I don't even want to think about how batshit those mushrooms could have made them.
For real. And yeah, and on an empty stomach. Remember that commercial, that Snickers commercial that's like, you're not yourself when you're hungry. They're all hungry, and they're all doing mushrooms now on empty stomach and kind of crazy anyway. And Lottie hasn't, you know, been on her medication. The only mention of that is Thaisa said, I think it's Thaisa, she said she's been acting weird for weeks. The only thing that's even mentioned about that.
Yeah. And you know, one thing, you know, we know that Lottie has most likely been diagnosed with schizophrenia because of her loxapine. And you and I briefly talked about this, but some of what she's experiencing could be due to withdrawal.
It could be. Yeah. It could be. Detox is no fun. And the stuff that, you know, it makes your brain go nuts. Mm-hmm. And I've also read about instances where if you're misdiagnosed and you take medication for schizophrenia, it can make you schizophrenic.
Ooh.
So, or at least give you the symptoms. So that might have had something to do with it as well. We just don't know. And there's been a few instances. I'm trying to think of like a specific show where somebody has to keep taking pills to, you know, keep their, what some people would call gifts down. Mm-hmm. And it's usually some kind of psychic related. It's psychic and psychosis. The spelling is even very close together. And I think that if you aren't open-minded, or if you're a non-believer, that's just kind of part of your personality, mm-hmm. then you just, pharmaceuticals are the only answer.
Yeah.
Where if it was, you know, if you took her to a shaman or a holistic doctor, they might say, okay, well, use this kind of tree root and that'll, you know, enhance your psychic ability or something. It's not, it's not always negative, mm-hmm. but I think mostly like society sees that kind of thing. I mean, in the last handful of years, police are even using psychics. They used to laugh about that stuff. But now, you know, when one of them works, now they're like, oh, let's call another one. And it's not too bad. So I think the realm of possibilities is probably one of my favorite things about the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. And if I think that, so let's talk about, let's do supernatural versus logical with Travis's almost death compared to his actual death. Which I told you, I was in denial about that. And until about my third rewatch of the whole series, I was like, no, he's not dead. They faked it. It's like a mummy. Or you know what I mean? It's like a Travis wax figure to take it that far so they can get control of Natalie. And then, yeah, they do an autopsy. And that was just wishful thinking. But I think that, and I'm interested in the time that Natalie and Travis were estranged, and she talks about the two of them being fucked up together and keeping each other clean or sober or what have you. So I really need to see what happens, where Travis's opinion falls on all this too. Because remember when he and Jackie are having sex and they're finished and he's like, we're not really here, are we?
Yeah.
Or, but we disappeared, right? And it's like he's not even having a conversation with anyone in particular. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like on mushrooms, but like also did something kind of really get a hold of him?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because that when he was talking like that, it reminded me a lot of how I am after surgeries. Because I just don't, I don't make a lot of sense for a couple of days.
That's fun. Your husband should film all of those.
Right.
But okay.
He loves when I ask him the same question like 10 times within an hour.
Oh, God, that's hilarious. My sister-in-law takes medication sometimes and she's got a lupus, and every once in a while when she, you know, kind of takes it as needed, but every once in a while she'll take two. And when she gets like super loopy, she always asks me for veggie corn dogs.
Oh, that's so funny.
So whenever we go to the store together, I'll take her to the veggie corn dog aisle. And she's like, no, I don't want those. And she never wants them at the store. It's only when it's like a little loopy, just came out of the doctor's or something, wants those veggie corn dogs. It's so interesting to me what that shit can do to your brain.
Yeah.
I used to take a lot of pills in my 20s. Like I couldn't even deal with going to the grocery store without, you know, 5 milligrams of Valium. And I was very just everything just rattled me. I had some trauma in my early 20s. My mom died when I was young and stuff, and I was just trying to desperately find a way to cope, which is I think another thing that you know makes me feel in tune with Natalie's character, because like he didn't necessarily really like her dad, and he wasn't necessarily a good dad, but that's still pretty effing traumatic.
I mean, especially the way he died, you know.
Yes. And you tend to, especially in your younger years, when anything happens, you automatically assume and assess the situation and assume the blame, the guilt, everything. And you know, they don't have the internet in the 90s where you can Google how to deal with stuff, and there's no chat rooms yet, you know what I mean, to work it out with other people. And I think that's where she's struggling too. And Travis lost his dad in a very traumatic way. And I think there's something, some people just have that addict gene. Some people just have that alcoholic gene. And I think that, like with alcohol, it comes from alkul. It's a A-L-K, what is it? U-H-L or H-U-L?
Okay.
It's Middle Eastern. It's the exact word where alcohol comes from. And the literal translation of al-kul is to kill the spirit. So huh, when you, yeah. And when you go and you see like the wine in the liquor store and it'll say like beer, wine, spirits.
Right.
So I take that as more of the supernatural effect, and that the more substances that you have in your system, the more susceptible you are, because you're killing your own spirit. So you're giving the evil spirits, for lack of better phrasing, to kind of sneak their way in. Like Middle Eastern, they also call it like a blue gin.
Okay.
If you've ever read anything about that. And then perfect example, Aladdin. Aladdin's blue. Yeah. So yeah, it all comes from that. And it's like, you know, sneaky hints about, you know, different cultures and stuff. And I love that. But it's literally like when you read about somebody just losing their mind and they're totally sober and they drive their car into a McDonald's and they're like, oh, I have no idea how that just happened. Or, and they really can't remember. So they'll say that's a blue gin that has like kind of possessed your body or your spirit or something and let it kind of creep in there. So I think we're going to see a lot of that happen with Travis, because if you're really leaning towards the supernatural side of it, which I told you I kind of am, then maybe when after they do get rescued, that shit's going to follow them. And especially if Lottie is, you know, doing the cult kind of thing and the girls are bringing the rituals and this and that home with them, then I think they're much more susceptible to that.
Well, you know, that's interesting, because what you just said about the blue gin, that makes me think of the conversation that Thaisa and Shauna had in the present day when she was staying at her house, and they were talking about, you know, what they fantasize about their lives, what they could have done with their lives after being rescued. And Thaisa talked about all of these things that she actually did. Mm-hmm. And so they were dreams, and Shauna was like, you literally did all of that. And she said, I know, but if we're being honest, none of it felt real. And I always thought that was really strange. Like she doesn't, like, it didn't feel real because she doesn't remember it, or.
Yeah. That's what I think too. And I think we touched on this a little while ago. I think that Thaisa's altar is going to be involved in Lottie's cult. But to such a degree that regular Thaisa is not even going to be aware of it. I think it's going to be something like that.
There is an interesting article that it's funny because I always feel like I've read all of the articles about Yellow Jackets, and this one's been out for like almost a year, and never read it until recently. But there was an article in Screen Rant, and I will post the link to it in the show description.
Okay.
But I'm just going to, there's some interesting tidbits in here. I'm just going to read from this article real quick. In the Yellow Jacket season one finale, Simone finds Thaisa's shrine hidden in a secret room off their basement, and the altar appears to contain a human heart. Throughout Yellow Jackets, there is a looming question of whether the supernatural elements of the show are real or merely the way the characters see the world. Thaisa's shrine drives at the heart of this question as to whether the apparent sacrifices she has made have had a real effect or merely steals her resolve. And there is a, I'm looking for the quote by the, I am sorry. It just, oh my gosh. The page just closed out on me.
Oh no, I thought you were yelling for excitement.
No, I'm so mad. I'm so sorry, guys. But basically, it went on to explain that there was a quote from one of the showrunners about basically saying that Thaisa did, for anybody who was doubting it, that Thaisa did put this altar together somehow, that she was responsible for it, but she may not be aware of it.
Right.
And, you know, he's not confirming that she was or was not aware, but, you know, just said she may not be aware of it.
Right. Because I think there's proof in that when she's trying to blame Sammy for the red paint and all the stuff, right. And she even finds it under his bed, and she legit is like, why is this kid lying? I found the stuff. And the kid's like, oh, the bad one, you know? Mm-hmm. And so she really, I think they're going to run with that. That she really doesn't know.
Yeah, she doesn't. And I mean, she looked, it was kind of heartbreaking, the episode where it showed her waking up in the tree. I mean, in the present day, I mean, because like she just looked so terrified. And like, I mean, imagine waking up and you see like there's a giant bite out of your hand and you're in the tree and you're covered in dirt and
you can't remember.
Yeah. And your son has told you, has talked to you about this lady in the tree who he refers to as the bad one.
Yep. And drawing pictures.
Yeah. She was genuinely terrified. She had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
So there's, it's also interesting though, that she told Simone that none of that happened, that it started when they were in the woods and then it stopped after they got rescued, and it only started up again recently.
Yeah. So, and Simone doesn't seem to like, I would be freaking out about that a little bit more than she is, but I think that she's just like kind of how you are in a breakup and you're just kind of like dealing with it and moving on and trying to figure out what has to do with you and what isn't, you know. And she's not trying to hear any of that.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Do you think it might be if the wolves that Ty is seeing are actually Van, do you think that Van coming around and might have something to do with these disassociated states?
Maybe Van being part of the cult is forcing her to see them somehow.
Yeah.
Like it's really a dog and somebody's glamoring it into a wolf, or maybe she is hallucinating, or you know what I mean? Maybe, maybe she's having an acid flashback. But it was like, we don't know what kind of mushrooms those really were, you know?
Yeah.
And they just ate them. So yeah. You don't know what the long-term effects are, you know, or any of that.
True. Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah. You know, and like I said, it's, I think it's really, interesting that they're not going to I think they're going to hold to it not explain too much, which I'm really happy about, because I think it's way more interesting to sit around and speculate rather than to have all the answers.
It is. I want to be teased a little bit, and I want to have to go, oh, but wait, you know, did she or didn't they, or is it, you know? And I think when they give you flat out answers in your face, like that's why I don't watch Law and Order, because it's boring. And in case you didn't get the clue, there's a dun dun, like, oh, pay attention, viewer. This is one of the answers. Like, I want to be challenged. I want to be a citizen detective.
Right.
And I want to have opinions and figure it out. And then, you know, talk to everyone in the house about it and see what they think. And it just makes for a more fun experience all around, rather than just saying, this is the one answer. That's boring.
Yeah.
It's not math.
Now, do you think, what do you think about the man with no eyes and the fact that Thaisa and her grandmother saw this man?
Now, that is really, really interesting to me, because I think that a lot of the supernatural aspect started very early for Thaisa. And that also brings me to a side question. We don't know in season one yet who Sammy's birth mother is. Like, for instance, if Thaisa is seeing these visions and it's been passed down from her grandmother, and Sammy is Thaisa's birth son, then maybe that's heredity, and or hereditary rather, and maybe Sammy is seeing this stuff because he has a gift.
Yeah.
Or maybe Sammy's seeing this stuff even though he doesn't want to see it because it's really happening and it's outside his window and it has nothing to do with, you know, a sixth sense or what have you. But I think whether it's supernatural or, you know, voodoo or what have you, her grandmother sees something when she's like in that in-between realm. I believe it's the same in-between realm that Vanessa brings up to Thaisa and is talking about how she saw something when she wasn't really dead, but she wasn't really alive. And so is that guy following Thaisa? Is the man with no eyes, is his spirit somehow connected with what's going on here? Or is that something she got from her grandmother? Or is that just people see crazy shit and say crazy shit before they die, you know, kind of logic? I've found a very hard time finding logic in any of that. Because
I also think that Thais is very sensitive. Even though, you know, she's very like, you know, she's a leader and she's, you know, she's got these kind of hard edges about her, but she's also very sensitive. And she feels very deeply for people. She cares about her friends. She's possibly, I think she and Natalie are probably the most emotional. You know, Thaisa just like, you see how she is when with people she loves. She just loves with all her heart. At such a young age, I mean, I think it's possible that as far as a logical explanation goes, Thaisa's grandmother could be having these images and, you know, it could be like a kind of like some death psychosis thing, but convinces Thaisa that she is seeing them too somehow. Do you know what I'm saying?
Maybe I do. And maybe that's why she's so hell-bent against anything like that when they're stranded, because, you know, oh, I had to hear all that shit from my grandmother. You know, I'm not trying to hear that now. And, or maybe she just forgot about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you forget about traumatic things in childhood that, you know, they only come up later when there's like a trigger for it or something.
It is interesting that in the present, well, not just in the present day timeline, but in the 90s timeline and the present day timeline, she doesn't seem to be afraid of this eyeless man.
You know?
It's, which is really strange to me. I mean, you would think that's something that you would
observing.
Not be seeing.
Yeah.
But it's almost like she's going into this. It's almost as if she's going into this other version of herself when she sees him.
Now, what about, well, maybe, okay, maybe she had an alter all that time ago. Maybe Thaisa A can't see any of that stuff. But when she lets her alter lead, then she could, you know what I mean? I don't know. I watched United States of Terrors. There's reasons for different alters to, you know, come out at different times. So maybe that the alter that can see things is the protecting personality and is hiding or like, you know, shielding regular everyday Thaisa from any of that stuff. Maybe she doesn't see it in her teenage years. Again, there's more parents. We were introduced, you know, to them for half a second. Mm-hmm. And that would be another thing to find out. Does it skip a generation? Does the mom have any weird gifts that they're just not talking about? You know, were they making sure she's okay because she continuously had them? I mean, there's just so much we don't know. And it's so fun to speculate about all of it. And what about speaking of the man that we don't know anything about, when Jackie dies, mm-hmm. and she has that hallucination again between the realm of life and death, we're gonna say is when Jackie sees this, and your mind is just so much more open to things. And sometimes in dreams, you see the thing that you want the most, like Shauna, you know, apologizing and this and that. But there's a guy in there, in that line of everyone that's like, welcome, Jackie. You know, it's, yeah. Right? And there's like, is that, okay, that's the guy that's going to be in the skeleton. I need a whole mess load more information on him.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
Right? Because that is going to be probably my biggest argument for supernatural mm-hmm. or logical, is to find out who he was and how he died. Maybe yeah. Lottie's dad had it in for him, or maybe this guy saw things too, and he's hiding out there to protect himself from all of it, and he yeah. was murdered, or maybe he was part of it. I mean, give me season two right now.
I know. Like, I want to know, yeah, I want to see more of their families, for sure. Definitely.
I think that'll explain a lot and kind of close, fill in a couple gaps and stuff like that. So yeah. There's characters that we've seen that we don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very excited about the characters that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
That we do or do not know. I read that Coach Ben's boyfriend, Paul.
Yes.
Was recently cast.
Yes. And it's a younger Paul. So it's going to be we'll probably see him in pre-crash flashbacks or maybe post-crash, but in the 90s timeline.
Okay. You know whose parents I really need to see?
Misty's.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I need to see Misty's. I think I sent you a picture a while back, because if you watch, for everyone listening, if you haven't seen Big Little Lies on HBO, it's a Reese Witherspoon production. It's like a whodunit, and it's amazing. Meryl Streep is in it in the second season, and she's wearing Misty's glasses, and they cut her hair like that, in that like pre-Karen kind of bob for it. And I was just scrolling through some old pictures, and I was like, oh my God, Meryl Streep for Misty's mom, please.
See, and you know who I could see as far as playing her like in a 90s timeline is Reese Witherspoon.
Oh,
I could totally see Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, yes. Mom. You know, that's really funny, because the first night when we first watched the pilot for the first night, first time it aired, the first scene that Christina Ricci is in as adult Misty, and mad props to Miss Ricci, because I did not even recognize her. And I was looking for her because of her eyes. I thought she was going to be adult Jackie.
Oh yeah.
Because of the face casting. And so she's in it, and she says something, and she's talking about the citizen detectives, and she's like, and it's super fun. And I looked at my roommate, and I was like, so Miss Ricci channeled a little Reese Witherspoon for this role.
That's so funny.
Because yeah, that's how she sounds in Election. And she's like, oh, it's super fun. And just such a goody-goody, you know? I love her.
Yeah, she reminds me a lot of her.
Yes. That would be excellent casting. I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm laying off of mind casting Misty's dad, because I feel like she's so effed up. She has to come from like a single parent. Her mom's gonna like never be there or be overprotective and smothering because there's an absent dad or something like that.
Yeah, something like that for sure. Or I was kind of bummed that we weren't gonna get an adult Laura Lee, because I just like, the minute we saw her, I'm thinking, okay, if she survives, Kirsten Dunst has to play her.
That is so great. Kirsten Dunst or Laura Dern, I thought would be, because the blonde and, you know, and just pointy nose, and I saw her. She's also in Big Little Lies. She curses. Every third word is a curse word, and it's my favorite thing she's ever done. But I like Kirsten Dunst. Is it Kirsten? Kirsten?
Kirsten.
It's Kirsten. Yeah. I really like that. But maybe we'll see Laura Lee's parents, even though no adult Laura Lee. Who knows? It's anything goes at this point, I think.
Yeah, for sure. It is really interesting that we haven't, that Shauna is kind of the main character and we haven't seen any of her family members either. But you know, that could be, maybe her family is just a little too boring and typical. Who knows?
Right? Or maybe they're saving the best for last.
Maybe.
We saw her room. We saw like a clip of her bedroom, but you know, that was about it. I don't know if that's intentional or maybe the writers haven't figured it out yet, but I feel like we need so much more background, so much more. And because the other thing that had me hooked from the get-go was there really aren't any heroes. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all heroes. They all do heroic things. But even like, I don't know, Natalie is the most heroic to me, but she even has, you know, her problems with the sex and the drugs and all that kind of thing. But nobody is like a pure hero. Even
you think, anti-heroes.
Right. You think it's going to be Shauna until you find out she's screwing Jeff. And then you're like, oh, man, the best friend's boyfriend. That's so cliche. And you know what I mean? And you'd like to think, oh, well, she has her reasons. But that's still pretty shitty. And Natalie used to, you know, steal people's identity and stuff. So everybody is their own hero or their own character's hero in a sense. But like you said, it's much more of an anti-hero.
For sure. And I mean, they're all kind of fucked up, except, you know, with the exception being, I don't know that Thaisa has done anything that's been, well, Allie. But she didn't even mean to hurt her that badly.
But did she, because of the, like, the smiling, and you see, like, in the beginning, she says something about, I can't remember who she's talking to, and she's like, well, what if Allie, da-da-da, and Thaisa, like, gets this fucked up smile, and she's kind of like, well, that's not going to happen. So she might not have meant for it to be that dramatic, but I feel like it was 100% intentional.
Yeah, they've all done really shitty, fucked up things. And it's like, I keep wanting to say that, oh yeah, Shauna is probably the most messed up and worst decision maker out of all of them. But then I'm thinking, okay, Natalie ran into her sponsor. And the first thing one of the first things she said was, I promise I won't assault you again.
Again, right? And she also thinks it's a good idea to take Kevin's his gun when he's a cop. And yeah. Oh. But my favorite, like most relatable Natalie moment where she snaps like that is when she goes to put a dollar in the vending machine.
That's the greatest. Right? I love that.
And it's so beautifully borderline sociopathic because she only takes what she paid for.
Yes.
And I love that. I love that so much. And I was really kind of bummed, honestly, that she didn't get nominated too, because for that scene alone, when she's on the phone with somebody from the bank, and get your manager, and don't you believe in love? I was like, I would have nominated her 5 times for that scene alone.
Yeah.
But I just, the way her character is, it's borderline psychotic, but in like that cool, edgy punk rock, victimless crime kind of thing, except the bank thievery. And we still don't know how she got that Porsche either.
Right.
So
right.
It's, I feel I like
we're supposed to assume that it was like settlement money or something.
Maybe because she doesn't have kids.
Yeah.
Or a husband, and she just got gold. The car. What's that?
Maybe they found gold in the Canadian mountains. There's all kinds of rumors. Like I have a theory that the cabin daddy could have been looking for gold, and that's why he had a fly-in cabin there, because there are rumors of hidden gold that nobody's found in
the- and all the ammo.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be pretty tight. That would be a good plot twist and explain a lot. I think she also could have got her pores from scamming all those people with the bank lady.
True.
But yeah. Why would you flaunt it? If you're a criminal, why would you flaunt it and buy a Porsche? That's like when drug dealers live in, you know, shitty apartments and they have a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, I don't think she would be that stupid.
Yeah, probably not. But I would love to know where she's been all this time.
Yes.
You know, where has she been living? If she has she been has she been living out in LA? Has she been living somewhere else?
That was my guess, was going to be something like New York, LA, some kind of big city. And, yeah. You know, and then we have to find out how long she was in touch with Travis, as opposed to how long they were estranged, because that could explain a lot.
Yeah. And why he was like, why he was so off the grid, as off the grid he was.
And he changed his name.
And he changed his name, yeah.
And did he know that he was going to kill himself because he bought a $200 bottle of booze?
Well, that was that was a gift from Jessica, the fake reporter. Yeah, she said that she told me that she brought him that bottle to try to get him to open up.
Thank you. Okay, yeah. I missed that.
Yeah. And she also said that she was certain that Travis was murdered, which I don't think most people are doubting. I don't think he killed himself.
No.
No. I mean, there was also a scene. Did you see that scene that was in the trailer that never made it onto the show, where adult Travis was running out of his house?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, there was a scene in the trailer. If you go back and look up the trailer, you can see it. It's nighttime and he's running out of his house, the house that Natalie and Misty went to.
Okay.
And he's running out and he looks really like panicked and in a hurry. I think he might be running off to his car. And I think he's wearing basically what he died in.
Okay.
So it's, you know, I don't know why that didn't make it in the show. I would love to know how much was cut out. Like, why was he so panicked, and there's so many weird things about Travis. Why did he tell Natalie that she had the wrong number when he called? Cause he obviously recognized your voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting.
There's so many things. So many. I need more Travis.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I need to find the actor that played adult Travis and look him up and see if I can find any hints of him doing any additional filming or,
yeah,
you know,
I really didn't
see if I can find him on social media and do some digging, do some spying on the cast members.
Yes. Yes. I didn't recognize any of the three newest ones, including who's going to play Coach Ben's boyfriend.
Oh,
I didn't
yeah.
recognize the actors, but I did low-key freak out when I realized that Lauren Ambrose was from 6 Feet Under, because yeah, I used to love shows. That show. Yeah. Dexter yeah, from there, too. You what?
What was that?
Dexter came from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael C. Hall and Lauren Ambrose were my favorites on 6 Feet Under. I absolutely Same. Love them both.
Same. And the casting, I mean, they look related. It's crazy. It's yeah. crazy good. So yeah, I'm super, sure. super excited about that.
Yeah, I am too. I'm so excited about Lauren Ambrose. Like, I'm crawling out of my skin. So excited. I also want to see,
oh my God, when, now that Misty's going to have a PIC, little partner in crime, with Elijah mm-hmm. Wood's announcement on there, that yeah. picture that they leaked, yeah. I was like, how are they going to do this? Is there going to be like a romantic thing, or is he just going to be like another detective? Is he only on for one season? You know,
I think they said he's only going to be on for one season.
That makes him an expendable character. Because I yeah. really think that Misty is a legit serial killer. And that's why she has all that whole setup downstairs, and like, what's her name? The reporter, not the first person she's had down there.
You know, I had a theory that Walter might actually be a sibling, because they almost kind of look a little bit alike.
That would be great. And they could like play off each other.
Yeah, that would, it would definitely show us more about Misty, which would be cool. But yeah, who knows? I mean, I know he's supposed to be he's kind of supposed to be like an adversary. It'll be interesting to see how that goes, and why is he, what is he challenging her on? Is he investigating Jessica's death, or is he investigating Adam's death, or
why, what brought him to show up in the first place is what I need to know.
Or is he investigating deaths at the facility where she works, and he has suspicions about her killing people there?
But can't prove it. It's the missing torso. That was so great.
I have a theory that that she's gonna kill Ben. And I also subscribe to the Misty as a serial killer theory, because she was so weird. Her behavior was so weird with that guy that she went on the date with.
Right. And if Natalie wasn't waiting for her with a shotgun, that guy would have ended up tied up on that bed and met his fate, whatever that may be.
She messed with her own car to get him over to her house.
But it was great foreshadowing, because that's how you know, without even hesitating, that she did that to Natalie's car.
Yeah.
Because she blatantly did it, you know, to make herself look weak or whatever. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So many mysteries, right?
I know. We could do an hour conversation on like each and every category, I feel like.
For sure. I also think that Bianca, who Jeff borrowed the money from, her and her people, I think, are involved in the cult.
That, I like that.
I hadn't thought of that.
What's that?
I don't think Jeff knows that. I think Jeff is pretty clueless about everything, but I think that they inserted themselves into Shauna's life in that way.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Just a couple more months. I'm so excited.
I know.
And we're going to be doing live after shows in season 2. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes. Talking Dead, but with yellow jackets.
Yeah. And there's going to be call-ins and... I'm really excited. That's going to be a ton of fun.
That is so cool.
Yeah. I'm still going to be doing my regular episodes like later on in the week, kind of covering the episodes more in detail. But yeah, I'm going to do the live after shows on Sunday and get people's immediate reactions. So you'll have to join me for one of those for sure. That'll be
heck yeah. Heck yeah.
did you have any other thoughts about the anything that we didn't touch on that you wanted to talk about with the supernatural versus logical?
I think we got everything. We got everyone's childhood, man with no eyes. We got spontaneous combustion. Yeah, science.
Yeah, we went into a little bit of everything, didn't we?
I had so much fun doing this. I'm trying to see the cabin, the lake. Did we talk about, like the iron oxide and all that kind of stuff? I want to hear what other people think about that, because that brings me back to, I think we did touch on this lightly. Why is the river to the cabin all red and fucked up when the ocean, or what is it, a lake? They keep saying lake, but I kind of feel like they're all the way on the West Coast. It could be, I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? So
Comment, guys, if you have any thoughts on any of this that we talked about.
Yes, please. And then especially comment on Cabin Daddy. I need more about that. And didn't we say we noticed he had no hands?
Yeah.
Or like, okay, so that was my final supernatural versus logical because if you go, and this will be where logical seems kind of boring, because, you know, what if he went there, lost a bet with someone, they were trying to, or they found the gold, mm-hmm. and they chopped off his hands and stole the gold, or maybe they chopped off his hands, stole the gold, and the entity that is the forest didn't want them to leave either. Maybe that's not the only skeleton they're going to find.
True. True. There could be more.
There could be. Kind of hope there is.
If you believe in the supernatural, the paranormal, hauntings, then you've got to think that if there was nothing weird going on in those woods before, then there definitely is now with all the bodies buried from the plane crash.
Yeah, because what's his name, the skeleton guy, his plane was in perfect condition.
Yeah, yeah.
So it couldn't have been, you know, 100% just crazy compass kind of stuff. Because somebody's plane got there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, we will see. The trailer should be coming out soon. So that should give us some insight too. I can't wait till that comes out.
Yeah.
But definitely leave some comments on your thoughts. Guys, take a moment. If you are enjoying the episodes, take a moment to review the podcast on Apple Podcasts. You know, if you have anything that interesting that you want to share, like fan art, or if you'd like to be on an episode, either a fan panel or to join me for one of the live shows, you know, email me at antlerqueenspodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on social media, at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're at the Antler Queens, on pretty much all of them.
We're everywhere. Yes. Like Lottie's cult.
Everywhere you want to be. That's it. That's MX, right?
Yep.
Well, Lex, thank you so much for joining me. This was so much fun.
Absolutely, Cal. I had the best time. This is so fun. The only thing that's better than Yellow Jackets is finding like-minded people to talk about Yellow Jackets.
Yes. Yes. And this community has been so much fun so far. So, like, I love seeing everybody's theories, and it's a blast.
It's fun. Like I said, I really hope that the writers and everyone involved in the show, you know, if not every single one, but they kind of jump around and look at this podcast and read this fanfare and see this forum and stuff. And just kind of, you know, if I were in the show, I would be wildly curious to see what everyone's reactions and opinions were too. So I hope they do that. And if the writers are undecided about anything, I hope we helped them figure it out right here on this show.
Oh yeah, that would be awesome.
Definitely.
Credits.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to bust on out of here. Until the next time, peace, love, and yellow jacket, everyone. And
you got it.
I'm going to buzz off.
All right. Buzz off, y'all. See you next time.
See ya.